Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Tet. And we're holding right at the last word. Well, I should say it's the last two words, really, but it's written as an abbreviation. So maybe it only counts as one word. Anyway, the last written word on daf Chof Ches Amud Beis. So just remember how we got into this, what we've been talking about, because with Pashtus, we started dealing with something like completely off the wall that has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. We were talking about the question of Hespedim in terms of the Kiddush of the Beit HaKnesset. So are we able to give Hespedim? So we said we can give Hespedim of a Rabbim. And then we asked, okay, what's considered to be Hesped of a Rabbim? So then we were talking about the Gedorim of how to be Maspid and who would come to a Hesped. Then we started talking about the difference between the Hasidei Bovel and the Tkifei of Eretz Yisrael in terms of how they were going to give a hesped. But that was in terms of how much they were machshiv someone who had been sitting and learning or teaching just Mishnah. From there, we got into the story of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Chas v'shalom, I wouldn't want to be carried around by somebody who was already had learned four Siddurim of Mishnah. And that brought us to Ishtamish Betaga Chalaf. We would analyze the Mishnah in Oves, not to use the Kisra Shel Torah. Then, because of that, we came to the idea of Halichas Olam Loy and how Chashuv Kol Hashoyna Halachas. That was the last thing that we learned. Now, what this is all about, therefore, in terms of the connection to the way things are, is that we went from Kriyas HaMegillah and the way in which one is Kriyas HaMegillah, to the Kriya of the Torah, to recognizing that that's a Dover Shebi Kedusha, to the Dinim of Kedusha Beit HaKnesset, that is a function of the Divrei Kodesh that is done in the Beit HaKnesset. And from there, that brought us to the Chashivas of learning, the interrelationship of Beit HaMedrash and Beit HaKnesset. And remember that the great accomplishment of the Megillah and the events of Purim was, in fact, the Kimu v'Kiblu and the reestablishment of the Chashivas, as the Tanchuma says, of what it was that had caused us to reject the Torah in the first place, which was essentially the fear of Torah Shebaal Peh, which has suddenly now, on Purim, become the Moker here of the Kedusha of the individual. And from there, we now want to talk about how many halachic issues are going to be defined by the din of Talmud Torah, what things are more chashuv than others. So that provides us a hierarchy of values. Therefore, we start today with what would we be mevatel Talmud Torah for? Tana Rabbana. Mevatlin Talmud Torah, lo tza'at ha-meit ulachnasat ha-kala. So to be melave a meit, and we're going to see how much, how many people we'd be mevatel, and for bringing a kala, which is also a getter of livui, as Rashi points out. There's a Levaya, what we find in, which we're going to be getting to in the next Masechet, which usually we begin talking about these things. So there's a connection, which we already saw, a very deep connection between Avelut and between weddings. That's the Sheva Brochas and the Sheva Brochas of Avelus, the Shivas Yomim and Shivas Yomim. And there's also a Levaya. So Rashi points out that the Hachnasat Kala is to be melave lelavota mi beit avia le beit chupata. There is where we expect people to participate and to help us be machdis the kala, which is extremely powerful the way that Rashi puts it. So it's halvayata meit essentially and halvayata kala. Amru alav al Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi shehayam mevatel Talmud Torah lehotzaat hameit ulachnasat kala. So all of this we would do, but by med dvarim amurim b'she'en sham kol tzorcho, to say that Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi would be mevatel Torah, I mean, obviously it's not for in all circumstances. It's where there was an insufficient number of people to be mechabed the meis, but yesh sham kol tzorcho ein mevatlin. So what defines kol tzorcho? This means that our discussion here defines the chashivas of the individual who had been learning Torah, as we'll see. Same thing that we were talking about in the Hespedim. The same thing about the difference between the Sefer Torah and the Lima Torah, and they had to be meicher the Sefer Torah for Lima Torah, which the Gemara said you can't bring a raya from one to the other because the getter of the limud was more choshev than the actual Sefer. All of these sugyas there are completely interrelated with this idea of the interrelationship of the learning to the Sefer. So therefore, here too, what is considered to be a choshev number for someone who is nifter? Omer of Shmuel bar Inya Mishmei Derav, we need 12,000 men and 6,000 blowing. They used to have a shofar. So if you don't have 18,000 people, 6,000 of them blowing a shofar and another 12,000 to be present, you don't have enough to give cover to a mace. Well, Amri, like some say he didn't say 18,000. He said a total of 12,000, out of whom Shita Alfei are blowing shofarot. Ula says, look, I mean, basically, if you can cover the entire area from the Sha'arei Ha'ir all the way to the Beit HaKnesset, to the place where they give the Hespedim and so on, so over there, that's sufficient. So Kagon Dechaitzi Gavre, Miyabula, from the gates, at Sichra, until the actual Mokum, where we do the kvura in the Beit HaKvarot. Rav Sheshet Amar, kinitinata kach netilatan. Here is, of course, the main insight. If the Torah was given with 600,000 people, the Torah has to be taken with the same covet. So ultimately, a Ben Yisrael who dies is a bittel of the Torah. And that's because he was able, as Rashi says in the Gemara about someone who is Eimed al Hameis b'shas yitzias neshama, that he is chayev to be kireya, and that has to do with anybody, just that he's an Adam kosher. So Rashi's lashon is, because up until this point, the potential that he had to learn kol haTorah kula, every person had that potential. Now that it's taken away, that potential, which is the end of life, so because of that, it's exactly this nakuna. Therefore, he has to be kireya. So it's the same exact thing. If we had 600,000 people on Har Sinai, and that was considered to be the covet of the Torah in the giving of the Torah, so then af netilata b'shishim ribo. We don't have any concept of this sense of covet for a human being or for a Talmud Chacham, because we're going to see now the difference. Omar Ula, that's only true for someone who learned Chumash, Tanakh, Mishnayos, but somebody who was Masne, exactly what Masne means is a Machlokas Rishonim, whether Masne means he knows how to learn Gemara, or whether it means he taught. But in any event, there's no shir. 600,000, that's a minimum. That's what, in terms of the Torah, but in terms of the individual who actually inserted his mind into the Torah, according to those who learn that the idea is to be able to be Shayal the Mishnayos, like we were talking yesterday, that he's not just a computer program, there's no limit. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Bo ure'ei kama chavivin Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In terms of the chashivas of the presence of the Shekhinah in the Beit HaKnesset, because of the fact that it's Klal Yisrael's Chavivas, b'chol makom shegalu Shechina imahem. Wherever we went into Golos, the Shechina came with us. Golol Mitzrayim, Shechina imahem. Shenema haniglo nigleti al Beit Avicha beheyotam b'mitzrayim. This is Eli HaKohen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, didn't I come and I exposed myself, the galui, so that means that there was a hashros hashchina while you were in Mitzrayim, when Aaron was there, and you're a descendant of him, and went above shchina imayim, shenemar leman chem shilachti bavela, which we're darshaning shulachti. There's a question whether the gears actually was shulachti, because it doesn't say here that al tikra shilachti yela shulachti. The same thing is true in the end of this Golos. We will recognize that Shechina has been with us. Shenemar v'shav Hashem Elokecha et shevutcha. V'shav is a very strange way to say. That's grammatically incorrect. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us back, so then it should say v'hashiv, v'hashiv Hashem, Instead, it says Vishav. Vishav means that he himself returns. That must mean that he was in Golos. Melamed Shekadosh Baruch Hu Shav Imahen Mibein Hagaluyot. So where can the Shekhinah be located? In Bavel. Heicha. Omer Abaye, either in the Beit HaKnesset of Hutzal, or in the Beit HaKnesset in Naharda, that was called the Beit HaKnesset, the Shof V'Yosef B'Naharda. So that was a Beit HaKnesset that had been brought from Eretz Yisrael. They moved an actual Beit HaKnesset, and they moved it stone by stone, and they brought the dirt and the stones with them, and they rebuilt that Beit HaKnesset. Or they just brought the Chomer from Eretz Yisrael to be able to settle there. But those were the two places. And that, don't think that we're just saying that the Shekhinah is here and it's there. No, it's not that it's here and there. Zimninach of a Zimninach. It's a real presence of the Shekhinah. It's not stam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is imminent. So Mamela, you go in there and there at the end, you go in there and you'll feel it. That's not the point. It's an actual presence of the Kved Hashem, such as was expressed in the Anani HaKoved, in the Mishkan, in the Onot. And therefore, it's either in Hutzal or it's in Shof V'Yosef. Now, it's very interesting because the Ramban speaks out that the Beit HaKnesset that was Shof V'Yosef in Narda, so he points out that, look, the entire original Golos that came with Yechonyo, and that was the Charash and Masger, they actually settled in Narda. And that means that the original Mokum, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had prepared the Torah in Golos, and this was years in advance, remember, we had 11 years, that means that there was this planning for Bavel to be an immense center of learning in which all of the Sanhedrin and the Gedalei Hador and all of them came together, which was unbelievable. They brought along with them the Shof V'Yosef. Hutzal, he says, is a place that is directly beneath the area that Ezra, when Ezra came, and he was Ezra Sofer that regave the Torah to Yisrael in so many ways, as the Gemara points out, that he was like Moshe Rabbeinu. Both of them are called Safra Rabbah, and that was the Mokum that Ezra had been, and that's where he had done all of the Yinyonim, and he had been Koveya, the elements of Yichusim and of Limud HaTorah and the Takonos of Ezra. Those were done in the area where they made Hutzal. If you analyze the names of those two places, Naharda is Merames to a river of Das. So it's the place in which Das is Yotze in Bavel, in the end to everywhere, even to Eretz Yisrael. And that's how we're still learning today, the Daf Yomi. That was the Daf Yomi that came from there. And that was the Iker of Bavel, as all the Rishonim speak out, was in Naharda. So that those two places, if you think about it, that was similar to Ve'et Yehuda Shalach Lefanav Lohorot. So we find that Yaakov Avinu in the original Golos, in Mitzrayim, did exactly the same thing. As Rashi says, Lohorot is Lahachin Lo Beit Hora'ah, that there should first be a Mokum of Limutera that provides for the Ashrayas HaShekhinah that then took place in Bavel, in those places where they brought these Batei Knesiot at the time of the Charash HaMasger, which means that there's a deep relationship between this Maimer of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to the sugyas that we've had until now about the Gadlus and the Chashivas and the Chavivos of people that are learning Torah. So that even today, we have that Kedusha. And Abaye says, you should know that I feel I deserve a lot of credit. If I'm within even a parsa, which is a four meal, I will never walk by without turning aside off of the road and going into the shul, whether it's I'm by Hutzal or whether I'm by Narda, I always turn in there in order to be able to be mispalo. That's what I used to do by the kever of the Rambam until they destroyed it, but it used to be a tremendous mokum for tefillah and so on. Any time I would be passing through that area, anywhere near Tveria, I would go to Daven by the Kever of the Rambam.
Can you understand the name Hutzal?
Sorry, what?
The name Hutzal.
Sorry, thank you, I forgot. Yes, so that's Nahardea, and Hutzal is Betzel Shakai. Hutzal means the place that was covered over with that original tzel, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Shlomo HaMelech said, Hashem chose to be in this Arafel, in that tzel, and therefore it's a remez to the Ashrayas HaShchina, even in terms of its names. And then there were like things that used to happen there. Avud, Shmuel, and Levi, who once sitting down in the Beit HaKnesset of Shafi Yassif ben Arda, and all of a sudden, Atya Shechina, the Shechina came into the show. Shomu kol riksha, so they hear the sounds and frightening, and komu v'nafku, they got up and they left right away. They didn't think it was covered for them to be standing there, because now it got like the kedusha of the beam of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Sheshes was once sitting in the Beit HaKnesset of Shafi Yosef, and also when he was sitting there, the Shechina came into the show, and he didn't move. V'lo nafak, he didn't leave. So the Malachi Asharis considered this to be a chutzpah. Who is this jerk sitting over here? You don't get up, you just sit there? Otu Malachi Asharis v'kam mevatulei. So they were mentally torturing him, scaring him. Get out of here, get out of here. So Rav Sheshes said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, aluv v'she'enu aluv, mi nitchem mipnei mi? You have a person that's completely broken. I'm a blind man. I can't even get around. And we have the covet of the Shamayim. It's not, it's everything. So who should be the one that should relax and not push the other one out? Don't you think you should just let me stay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachi Asharis, leave him alone. Shavku, leave the poor guy alone. It's fine. Amazing story. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views these Batei Knesiot as being the equivalent of a Beis HaMikdash, because it says, V'yi lehem lemikdash ma'at. So in Yechezkel we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, you see, Yechezkel was like so upset, and it looks like we don't have any future, and it's all over. HaKadosh Baruch says, what do you mean it's all over? You don't see that the Beis HaMikdash continues to exist in miniature. In a Migdash Ma'at, a miniature Beis HaMikdash. And that is the Batei Knesiot, as Rabbi Yitzchak says. Elu Batei Knesiot, Batei Midrasha, Shebabavel. Every one of them is like a Beis HaMikdash in its own way. Rabbi Elazar Omer, this is even Beis Rabbeinu Shebabavel. After Rav came to Bavel and provided such a mokum. Remember, we were talking on Erev Shabbos about the nature of bias. And what a bias means, that Rav provided, doesn't mean literally his physical home, but it means that that hashpah, we always refer to it in the Gemara, from the time Michiyasa Rav LaBava, from the time that Rav came to Bava, it's a different place. There's a connection there that is almost as if you're in a mokum where there's a Beis HaMikdash. In Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, Hashem, mo'onata yita lanu bedor. So where was Hashem a Ma'on? A Ma'on is like a bias. I understand where there's a Beis HaMikdash, yes, but where there's no Beis HaMikdash, so how can you say every generation Hashem is a Ma'on? Elu Batei Knesiot and Batei Midrashas. So that there's a place, and that place is the place of Tvila and Limud. Omer Abaye, Mireish, Avigarisna Bebeita, Umatzlena Bebeknishta. Look, I used to do all my learning at home, because I felt that the kedusha of the mokum limud is greater than the kedusha of a Beit HaKnesset, and this is the mokum that I was miyachid for my learning, to get a minyan, so I would go to shul and have a minyan. But then I realized that when David HaMelech said, Hashem, ahavti ma'on beitecha, so, and we just understood that the idea of a ma'on is a place where people can come in. So now I understand that I should actually do my learning there where people come, and that's the Beit HaKnesset. So I changed my habits, and I stopped learning in my house, and I started learning in the Beit HaKnesset. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer. By the way, it's a big question. What exactly is a kapar? Right? It's so interesting. I mean, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, I mean, the very fact that we called his son Bar Kapara, right? So Bar Kapara was the son of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. So, I mean, there's got to be something about this kapar. So what exactly is a kapar? I mean, sometimes a kapar is somebody who deals with kafrisin. Like we have Yain Kafrisin. So Yen Kafrisin, people think, means wine from Cyprus. Yen Kafrisin, the Pashtus, is wine that's made out of Kafrisin. Kafrisin are the fruits, the berries of the caper bush. Caper, kapra, it's the same word. So Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, he was named after caper, which was Bar Kapara, which is an extraordinary, as the Gemara talks about, how extraordinary the caper is. I actually named my daughter after Aviona, is the fruit of the caper tree, right? And that's considered to be the simen of the connection, the deep connection that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, so Rabbi Elazar HaKapar omer, atidim batei knesiot ubatei midrashot shebabavel shikavu be'eretz Yisrael. Those Mokomos that had that chashivas of the Ashras Hashchina and the Migdash Ma'at, that's not something that you could just laugh off and it's here today, gone tomorrow. Now remember that that has all kinds of interesting implications, because on the one hand we're saying, especially according to the Ramban Shita, that the idea of the Beit HaKnesset, the Kedusha of the Beit HaKnesset, is essentially because, not that it's a Chefetz of Kedusha the way the Ran learns, but that it's the equivalent of a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, and it's being used to do the mitzvahs of Tefillah and Kriya and so on and so forth. Which means that Mi'ikar Adin, in the same way that we said you're allowed to throw away a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. Okay, big machlokas in whether you're allowed to do something that's a bizoyan or it's mamash a chi of gomor, not to be doing it in a derech bizoyan. We're certainly knowing not to be doing it in a derech bizoyan. But here, we see that Rabbi Elazar HaKapar holds that there is an innate kedusha that's mechaber these mekemes to Eretz Yisrael. And he says, I'll prove it to you, that it must be that these places are ultimately going to be revived, so to speak, like a Tchiyat HaMitim or Bizman Mashiach. They will be revived in Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to come, yikavu be'Eretz Yisrael, and I'll prove it to you. We just had this in the Haftarah this week. Shenema, ki ketavur beharim, uchecharmel b'yam yavo. So now, this is talking about Mamish in this week's Haftarah that we just read. So we spoke about how Nebuchadnezzar is going to destroy Paro, and he's going to end up in the middle of the ocean. He's not going to have where to be. The same way that Har Tabor and Har HaKarmel, and this whole area took Iris Farm along with it and moved all the way through the Yam in order to get to Har Sinai. That's the Medrash. So that originally Har Tabor and Har Carmel were in other places. But then, since they went through the Yam and they wanted to come to be at the present at the giving of the Torah, because of that, they were Nikbayim in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Carmel B'Yam Yavo, very nice. Very nice. Okay, I'll have to hear from you afterwards, the details. So, V'halod varim kavachomer, if Tabor and Carmel shelo ba'oel lefisha al ilmot Torah. Sach hakol, they came, what was it, for 40 days. And so they came to learn Torah for those 40 days. And what happened to them? Nikbaim Eretz Yisrael. They ended up being part of Eretz Yisrael. So batei knesiot, batei midrashot, shekorinu marbitzim b'em Torah. This is like unbelievable. So much greater than just Har Carmel and Har Tabor. Alachat kama v'kama. So it's a kal v'chomer that we're going to find them back in Eretz Yisrael in some way connected. It's impossible that they should be so involved in our botzas Torah, and that they shouldn't have a mokum in Eretz Yisrael. Dorash Bar Kapora, my dichtiv, this question of the relationship of mountains to the giving of the Torah. Remember, this was a big problem, because the whole meaning of the connection to Torah, as we saw from Moshe Rabbeinu, being an onav mikol adam, is an absolute essential in order for there to be a zikru Torah as Moshe. So, what is the connection of mountains? Mountains seem to be sort of a little show-offy in their essence, no? I mean, isn't that what a mountain is? That it's standing up there and people recognize it and see it and give it a special name, you know? So that they started calling Tabor Iris Farm. I mean, it's a chashivas. So what is the meaning of the pasuk? Lama tiratzdun harim gavnunim. What is the gavnunim? The pasuk says, okay, it's not clear. It's something that stands out. like it's gibein, like it sticks out like a big peak on a mountain. So why are you jumping about, you harim gavnunim? Means Abasko came out and said, Tirat Dun, we're being Doresh, Tirtsu Ladun. Why do you want to go to court suing Har Sinai and claiming that it is usurping the proper place of Mount Everest? I mean, after all, shouldn't the Torah be given on me, says Mount Everest? No, Lama Tirtsu Dinim Sinai, you don't want to go to court. You're going to lose because Kulchem Bali Mumimatem Etzel Sinai. You're all a bunch of stuck-up no-goodniks comparing you to Sinai, and having that midah of being conceited is a mum. Because it says here, Harim Gavnunim. Gavnunim is in the high mountains. But Lamaisa, in the list of mumin, it says, O Gibein, O Dak. So Gibein is one of the mumin. So you're all goof Gavnunim. Omer Avash, you see from here that someone who has gaiva, Haiman de Yohir, is a balmum. But he's considered to, literally, it's as if he's disabled and he's moving around without a foot. Eno sinoto kapandra. Okay, so then we move on. We said we're not even allowed to cut through a beit hakneset. First of all, what is the meaning of kapandria? Omar Rava, kapandria is like it sounds. And of course, kapandria is imported from the Greek. And whenever we import a word, we always give it a definition so that it should be incorporated into Lashon HaKodesh or into Arabic, Lashon Targum, so that we should be able to use it b'kiddusha. So kapandria means kishma. What do you mean kishma? Well, read the sounds. Ad-makifna adari e'ulbaha. So it's a very quick way to say, instead of my going around the block, let me just cut through here. So you say all of that in one word. So I'm going to go take a kapandria. Kapandria is the same as saying, I will go take a shortcut. So you can't go through a Beit HaKnesset as a shortcut. Omer Rebbe Abbahu, Ima yashvil mi'ikara mutar. Now listen, if that Beit HaKnesset was built over a pathway that had been used by the public beforehand, then the public does not lose its rights to cut along the path, even if that means going through the Beit HaKnesset, just because they put the Beit HaKnesset in the way, because their rights came first. And there you are allowed to cut through the Beit HaKnesset. Omer Nachman Bar Yitzchak, furthermore, Hanichnas al menat shelo la'asot kapandra. You came into the shul not in order to make a kapandra. You came in order to daven, whatever, and you were going to go out. Then you realize it'd be faster to go out the other entrance. Mutar la'asot kapandra, that is mutar. It's only when you go in order to make it a kapandra. V'yom rebchal v'yom revuna. Hanichnas l'beit ha'kneset l'hitpalel, mutar la'asot kapandra. So the question over here is, what exactly differentiates what it is that Reb Chalbo is saying from what we just said? Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak said that, right? So, I mean, it's not clear whether he's saying that it's only if you came in order to daven, as opposed to some other thing that you were allowed to come into, so then you can use it as a kapandria, or maybe just the opposite, that if you were going in for something, so then you can only use it as a kapandra if you didn't have a kavana to use it as a kapandra. But if, that's according to Reb Nachman, if I came in thinking, you know what, I'm going to go out through the other door and I'm going to get myself a cup of coffee in the diner on the other side instead of walking around, so then if you went in with that in mind, lechatchila, he's saying, then you can't use it as a kapandria. Masha Inken, Reb Chalbo seems to be saying, as long as you went into daven, you could use it as a kapandria. It's a question exactly, because it's not absolutely clear which one is lechumra, which one is lekula, whether they're saying the same thing. Shinemar, but this, and there's also some who learned, by the way, that based on the pasuk that we're going to be bringing now, that he's saying it's actually a chiev to use it as a kapandra. That is to say, there's a chiev of going out from a different door than the one that you came in. Okay, so that's a different girsa in the sugya. We don't paskin like that. But the mokar in the pasuk is, Ubevo amaretz lifnei Hashem b'moadim, haba derech sha'ar tzafon lishtachavot, yetze derech sha'ar negev. So if you came into the northern gate, into the Beis HaMikdash, and you wanted to be mishtachavot, That's the equivalent of coming into Bibispalo. So then you should leave through the southern gate. Now that papashas is a covet. Like we're being makif Yerushalayim, and we're going to see Yerushalayim. You're looking at makif the Beis HaMikdash. We just go in and go out. We go in, we walk around our covet and leave through the other door. But that, in fact, what if that actually ends up making you a kapandria? That's what you do. Olubo asabim lo yitlosh mipnei okmat nefesh. We said, do not cut the grass if it was a churva, because we want you to feel the pain of the churva. But the problem is the Braita says you cannot cut the grass in order to use it as food for your animals. Einu toleshu ma'achil, but you're allowed to cut the grass as long as you don't use it for feeding. Yeah, our Mishnah is talking about cutting the grass in order to feed it. Toleshu ma'achil tanan. Tana Rabbanan, what about a bet hakvarot? So a bet hakvarot ein noagim behem kalus rosh, which means that in marim behem behema, you don't allow your behemoths to stomp, graze around in there. You don't bring a water channel to go through it. In malichim behem abatamayim, in malaktim behem asavim, you're not allowed to pick grass there. And imli kate, if you did and you collected the weeds and whatever, then you have to burn them because of the kavod hameis. Have to burn them because of the kavod hameis? What kind of kavod hameis is that? Hey, what are you referring to? Where's the kavod hameis? Ilei ma'aseh, for what you're saying, that last thing is the kavod hameis? What? Kivan shesorfim b'mekomo, my kavod meisim ika. I don't see any honor that's being done by burning the grass there. Ela areishas, referring back to the beginning that says, eno agimba kalas rosh, that's where it's saying this piece about mipnei kavod hameis. Now this, by the way, runs very much counter to the way people feel today. On the contrary, I mean, we pay a lot of money for upkeep of the Beit HaKvaras, you know, because certainly the mace would not want to see his front yard all covered with long grass, so we pay for lawnmowers and so on, right? And that's like part of the costs of the Beit HaKvaras. And the question is, I mean, is that mamash an iser? This is very interesting. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on it, right? So he writes, since people nowadays seem to think that it's dafka a kovet to have chopped grass, so because of that, it's certainly not usher, because people are doing it dafka, because in their these issues of kovet are basically social kinds of askomas. So if this is the way people feel, so then there's no iser involved in cutting the grass. Okay, we're ready for our kapitan. Go for it.
Where's the nice cup?
Well, as we learned before, Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif. So we had an understanding. We were talking about Adarishan and Adarsheni. Purim is connected to Pesach, and we should understand that we are involved in a process of Geula, and connecting the Geula of Purim to the Geula of Pesach is the reason that we keep the mitzvahs in Adar Sheni. But there's another very important issue, and that is that we are actually koveya, a deep connection in terms of the Kriyas HaTorah, which has been the topic of our Masechet from the time that we went from Kriyas HaMegillah to the Inyan of Kriyas HaTorah. And now we're going to recognize, oh my gosh, we were koveya four special parshiot that are there in order, and they serve as a connection between the period of the Geula of Purim and the period of the Geula of Pesach. And that starts with Parsha Shkolim. So what exactly is the Seder of those Parshas? And remember that we saw at the beginning of the Masechet that the Inyan, that the Shkolim of Haman, as I mentioned to you earlier, everything at the end of the Masechet has its mokra at the beginning of the Masechet. We've seen even strange little ramazim of words. So the Haman's shkolim, as Tosis pointed out, were specifically work out keneged the shkolim of the Dor HaMidbar. So that in order to be counter that power, so it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Haman was going to ultimately give shkolim for Yisrael, and he was makdim the shikle Yisrael to the shikle of Haman to have that keach to put it off. So that means that shkolim is really connected to Purim, even though we're not going to be talking about that here, but it's an undercurrent. So that those shkolim, exactly, we're going to see that it mamish comes from the sugya of hachona. And we're actually going to bring rayas from the pasuk. We're going to see later on that it's a getter of hachana mamish, according to the Sifra. So anyway, so we have the arba parshios, which start with Parsha Shkolim. So when are we koveya Parsha Shkolim? Well, it has to be the Shabbos that either is Rosh Chodesh Adar or the Shabbos immediately before Rosh Chodesh Adar. But it can't be after Rosh Chodesh Adar. So therefore, since the latest time would have to be from the beginning of the month of Adar, as we'll see. So because of that, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos Mamash, so then that Shabbat of Rosh Chodesh Adar is Parsha Shkolim. If not, so then the previous Shabbat is. So Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechal Liot B'Shabbat, Korim B'Parshat Shekalim. Now, we have not defined what Parshat Shekalim is, and the Gemara is going to do that. How about if Rosh Chodesh fell sometime during that week, then we read Parshat Shekalim the week before, the Shabbos before, and then the next Shabbos we break, because the second of the four Parshiot, which is the Parsha of Zohar, that has to be connected as closely as possible to Purim. So because of that, we will interrupt. In the event that it comes out on Mamish on Rosh Chodesh, then we'll see what the idea of the Parsha's Zohar. We're going to go through all of the Seder of the different ways in which it can fall out. On the second of the Arba Parshios, Bishniyah, we read Zohar, which doesn't mean the second Shabbat, it means the second of the four Shabbatot, because it can't mean that, as well as it can't mean literally the second Shabbat in the event that it came out in Rosh Chodesh. Bishlishit, because there's no possible way to read Bishlishit, that the third Shabbat is the Parshas Parah, because that for sure is not true. So it means the third of the four Shabbatot that we're reading these special Parshiot, that is the Parsha of Parah. And the fourth, Berevi'it, is Parshat HaKodesh. HaKodesh is Alachem. And then the fifth Shabbat, we go back to the regular Seder. Now, it's not clear, regular Seder of what? What wasn't the regular Seder? Did we somehow cancel the Seder? What Seder did we cancel with these four Shabbatot? Did we cancel the Parshat HaShavua? Did we cancel the Haftarat HaShavua? That the Gemara is going to discuss. Furthermore, you should know that there is such a thing as a breaking away from the Parshat HaShavua, because for Yomim Tovim, we're going to be mafsik, and we're going to read the Parsha of the Yom Tov instead of reading the Parsha of the Shabbat. So, lakol mafsikim. And there's also a getter of Avsoka for Rosh Chodeshim, for Chanukah, for Purim, for Taniyot, for Ma'amadot, and for Yom HaKippurim. So then if we would be reading on any of those days, we would be reading a Parsha normally on Sheni V'Chamishi, and Lagabe Yom Kippur, it would be Nogea the Mincha as well. Then we're docha that, and instead we read the Parsha of the day. So now it says, as we learned in Masechet Shkolim, it says in the Mishnah, Be'echad be'adar mashmi'im ala shkalim. So we announce the need to bring Shkolim on the first day of Adar, and we also start talking about going about and taking care of Kilayim, Vala Kilayim. So we're going to give, now is the time that the Kilayim start becoming nicker from the time of planting, as Gemara is going to explain, and therefore we're going to insist that people be Oker Kilayim, which is now recognizable, if it shows up in the sprouting field. So Bishlama Ala Kilayim, I understand. Because, I mean, agriculturally, this makes sense. This is the period in which, it doesn't mean it's the time that we do the Zriah. It means it's the time that the Zriah will now be Niker in its first showing up above the ground. But Shkolim, what does Shkolim have to do with Adar? Minolan, why would we talk about Shkolim on Rosh Chodesh Adar? Om Reb Tavi, Om Reb Yoshia, that's because the Pasuk says, Zot Olat Chodesh Bechodesho Lechodshei Hashanah. What's all of this Chodesh Chadash Chodesh? What's three times in a row? Zot Olat Chodesh Bechodesho Lechodshei. So that is coming to be Merames, that in this Parsha, where we're talking about the Ola and the Karbonis that you have to bring, the time to start the cycle of the year in which you're mitchadesh is the time at which it says HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. That's what we learned back in Rosh Hashanah, that we had that Gzeirah Shavah, that we learn out Chodesh from HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. And it's stressing Chadesh, make yourselves new, bring new monies, and bring a korban mitruma chadasha. And therefore, there must be that you have to bring that from the beginning of Nisan. You're going to be bringing the new korbanas. And this, of course, fits in because that was exactly the time that we did the chinuch of the Mishkan and started bringing korbanas. So this becomes now part of the cycle for all times. Bringing the new korbanas is exactly at the time that we first started the korbanas in the Mishkan. Now, since Benisan, Boy Akruve Mitruma Chadasha, you're going to have to bring from the new Shkalim already in Nisan. So we need advanced time to prepare for that. So Kadminim Vekarinim Be'echad Be'adar, Ki'echad Aleti Shkalim L'Migdash. So therefore, in order to properly prepare for the new Karbonas, we start in the beginning of Adar. Now, wait a minute. Why do we need 30 days for preparation? Come on. I mean, that doesn't work out according to Reb Shimon ben Gamaliel, because remember that Reb Shimon ben Gamaliel always gives us 2 weeks for those kind of things, not 30 days, Omer Shtei Shabbatot. Because remember, we had that famous machlokas of Shoalim B'Yilchot HaPesach Kodem LePesach Shloshim Yom, and Reb Shimon ben Gamaliel says Shtei Shabbatot, and we had that whole machlokas about Darshing the Pesach, that when was Moshe standing, and what was he mitzavan? Fine, but this apparently we're saying like Stam, the Mishnah now, and the whole Hanukkah that we have is throwing out Reb Shimon ben Gamaliel? No. I feel the team Reb Shimon ben Gamaliel. It works out fine. Because Kivan de Omar Mar, look, there is a gradual increase in the pressure of the Shkalim. Because on the 15th of Adar, so the money changers, the Shulchanot, which are like the bankers, would open up their stalls in order to provide people an option of buying their Machzis HaShekel or exchanging a shekel for Machzis HaShekel. Anyway, so that's when they would open up. And on the 25th of Adar, they would already open up in the area of the Beis HaMikdash itself on Har HaBayit, so that people would be able to take care of their banking needs right there. So that means that we need 15 days before the banks open in order for people to have gotten together their money to be able to go to the bank. So even according to Reb Shimon ben Gamaliel, it still works out that it's a 2-week process if we count it from the banking time. Okay. So that's when we read Shkalim. That makes sense, but what is Parshat Shkalim exactly? My Parshat Shkalim. Rav says, now this is a surprise, Rav says, it is Parshas Pinchas, because it says in Parshas Pinchas, Tzaved b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta aleihem et korbani lachmi li'ishai, and so on. And that's what we say. Shmuel says it's what we today call Parshat Shkalim, which is the Parsha of Kitisad Rosh B'nei Yisrael, and there it says everybody should give a Machzis HaShekel. Now, I mean, that does make heck of a lot more sense. I mean, I understand if you're talking about Kitisah, that would be a good reason to call it Parsha Shkalim. After all, that's what it's all about. Everybody's mechuyev to bring Machzis HaShekel. So I did the Karlei Parshat Shkalim. What in the world is Rav talking about? I mean, Shmuel, the Parsha is talking about Shkalim, Ktiva Shkalim. But et korbani lachmi, mine Shkalim Ktiva Yachi. I don't see anything in Pinchas that says a single word about Shkalim. So what in the world was he referring to when he's talking about Shkalim? There is no Shkalim over there. Says the Gemara, yes, there is Shkalim. Because didn't we just learn Taima Mai Ki Reb Tavi? Didn't Reb Tavi explain that the mocker of the Machzis HaShekel was Chadesh, Zot Olas Chodesh Bechotsholo Chodshei HaShana? So Memela, it's Tzaves B'nei Yisrael that is the mocker of needing to bring these new Shkalim. So we go all the way to the source and we say the source. Now, there's an interesting Sifra, and this is the way Rashi understood the sugya, but I told you before that there's Ramosim over Ta'achona. So this is the Netziv writes this, Sfas Emes writes this, that since the Sifra says that the words Tishmeru l'akriv li b'moado, what's Tishmeru l'akriv li b'moado means? that you have to be prepared in advance in order to be able to have the Trumas HaLishka at the time that you're going to need to take the Shkolim. So it turns out that Rav is saying that since in that Parsha, Tzavos B'nei Yisrael, not only does it say that you have to be Chadesh, but it also says Tishmru L'akriv Li B'Mo'ado, which means that you need to be working on in advance, that it should be Muchan. So therefore, that is even better to read the Parsha Shkolim from there. Isn't that lovely? So it turns out that the Inyan of Achana is actually Merumas over here in the Pasuk itself, the Tishmru. Okay, so that would explain. That would be like Reb Tavi. Actually, you know what? Rav seems to even make more sense, because if you're going to be laning from Pinchas, Tzavos B'nei Yisrael, that would be because we want to be talking about bringing Shkolim in order to buy the Korbanos. Parshas Ki Tisah has nothing to do with the Maktis HaShekel that we bring. Parshas Ki Tisah was like this one-time event where everybody had to bring a Maktis HaShekel because we were doing a census utilizing the Maktis HaShekel. And then from those Maktis HaShekel, we built the Mishkan. We made the Adonim of the Mishkan. What does that have to do with them? It's very confusing. That has nothing to do with bringing the Maktis HaShekel today. So actually, Rav is the only one that makes sense. This Korban Ilachmi is the idea of the Shkolim that we're asking you, gentlemen, to give your donation this year. And if we read there, everybody's going to scratch their head. They're going to say, what does that have to do with now? This was thousands of years ago. Why do I have to worry about that shekel? So therefore, if it's written, D'chtive Korbanot HaSam, like we learned out from Reb Tavi, and that's the chi of the Chavtim Mechadish, the Korbanos, okay? But according to Shmuel, what does Kitisa have to do with Shkolim? Those Korbanos. Korbanos have nothing to do with it. Over there, we're talking about the Shkolim for the Adanim that were used for building the Mishkan, and therefore they seem to be irrelevant to now. Ah, that's like Rabbi Yosef explains, that over there, remember, as Rashi brings this in the beginning, Sholosh Trumas are Ksuvim B'Parsha. It says three separate times the Loshon of Truma over there. So that, what are those three Trumas? Well, one of them is the Truma, which is supposed to be L'chaper. And that's referring to the kapara that comes all year round from your korbanos. So one of them is the mizbeach. So shall mizbeach, the truma le mizbeach, that goes for the korbanos. The kapara nafshotechem. And then we have, one of them is for the adonim. And then we have the truma for the kol nidvat, kol shenadav liboto. That's talking about for the Bedek HaBayit, for the people who want to give donations to build the Beis HaMikdash, or to make the Beis HaMikdash more beautiful, just like it was at the time of the Mishkan. So we always had three separate Gedorim of Trumas, and therefore it certainly is a remez in Parsha Shkolim, directly to Shkolim, says Shmuel, and to these Shkolim, the ones that are coming, L'chaper the whole year. Now, taking into consideration the practicalities of reading this Parsha Shkolim, you must admit that according to the Man Yomar Ki Tisah, it makes a heck of a lot more sense. Because, look, I mean, let's suppose that Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos. And we said if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, then we read Parsha Shkolim on that Shabbos. I got news for you. If it weren't Parsha Shkolim, we would still be reading Parsha Shkolim. Because what do we read for the Maftir on the Shabbos, which is Rosh Chodesh? We read exactly that. Uvroshecha Chechem Takrivo. It's the same Parsha. And according to many, at the time of the Gemara, they actually read from the beginning of the Parsha, which is the Korban, et Korban Ilachmi, Tzavet B'nei Yisrael. So it would be exactly the same Parsha. So what the heck is the difference between Parsha Shkolim and Parsha Rosh Chodesh anyway? According to Rav, there's no way to have anyone realize that I'm reading this because it's Parsha Shkolim. So, of course, Shmuel makes much more sense. Because L'man D'Omar Tzavet get Korban Ilachmi, my Shani, how is the Parsha Shkolim that comes out on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, how is it different than any Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? No, it's different. Because normally on Rosh Chodesh, remember that the Gemara is going according to the Shita, that as Tosis explained, before we were mitaken the Kaddish between the Maftir and the Kriya, that they used to include the maftir as one of the actual numbers, but he would read something new. So they're fine. So on Rosh Chodesh, a normal Rosh Chodesh, you would have six people that had aliyahs from the Parsha, and then you would have one person who was reading Rosh Chodesh, and those would be the seven people. Masha Enkin, when Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, then we only read the whole time from Rosh Chodesh, because it's Parsha Shkolim, and it's not a normal Parshat HaShavua. Wait a minute. That's a machlokas, whether we cancel for each of the Arba Parshios. Do we cancel the normal laning, or do we maintain the normal laning and only change the Haftorah? I mean, what you just said only works out if the way that we understand the Mishnah, which is Uba Chamishisa, the fifth week, we go back to Kisidran. So we'll see later on, it's a machlokas, what does Kisidran mean? So if you learn Kisidran means Liseder Parshios, you go back to laning the same Parsha. Okay, then that makes sense. But Lamandi Omer Liseder Haftorah Suchoser. If you're saying we always read the whole Parsha, the only difference between the Arba Parsha is what we do for the Maftir, so then we read the normal Parsha, Parsha Tadda Yom HaKarina, so we're back to the same problem. We would always be reading the Maftir from Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, you're doing the same thing if it's Parsha Shkolim. So now you're reading the Maftir from that same Parsha. So my Shani. No, it's still different, says Rab. Of course it's different. Because on a regular Rosh Chodesh, you would have six people reading the Parsha, one person reading from Rosh Chodesh. Masha Enkein, today, since it's Parsha Shkolim, so even according, we're used to thinking not like this, and therefore it's very important to hear what Rav is saying. According to the Mandi Amar, who says that we don't interrupt the Parsha, and we only change the Maftir, that doesn't mean that the name of this Shabbat is not Parshat Shkalim, and not Parshat, let's say, Tetzaveh. It's Parshat Shkalim. That's the main Parsha, except that we don't want to be Mevatel, the laning of the Parsha, so we also read the Parsha. This is how the Netziv explains the whole idea over here. And since the main Parsha that we're reading is Parsha Shkolim, so we would have three people that would have aliyahs in the Parshat HaShavua, and we would have four people that would have aliyahs in Parsha Shkolim, because that's the main Kriya. And even though we should really read Parsha Shkolim first, before the Parshat HaShavua, furthermore, explains the Netziv, but since we want to be Maftir with Parsha Shkolim, and we always do the Haftorah from the last part of what it is that we've been reading, so therefore we do the Parshat HaShavua first, not because it's the Iker Parsha, which many people think, but because we're not Mevatel the Parshat HaShavua, according to the Mandi Amar, who holds that we explain Kisidran as going back to the Haftorah. All right. So therefore we'll have three people reading the Parsha, four people reading in Rosh Chodesh. Meisvei. So we ask on Rav, it says Rosh Chodesh Adar, Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat, Korin Parshat Shkalim, and we're Maftirin B'Yehoyada HaKohen. Now, if we were reading Kitisa, and that's what we do, if you're reading Kitisa, it makes sense to read the whole story of Yehoyada HaKohen. Yehoyada HaKohen, it's talking about exactly that, where they were collecting money for the Beit HaMikdash, and he put up the various shofarot that they should be able to put the money in, who would be responsible for the Beit HaKapayit, and so on and so forth, because that is similar to the idea of the Shkolim. It talks about Kesev, Nafshot Erko. But what about according to Rav, who says it's Korban Nilach, me? What are we reading from something that doesn't seem to have any resemblance to what it is that we've been doing Haftorah from? No, it's not true. I've already explained to you, says Rav. The whole basis of this is the Chadesh Vavi Mitruma Chadasha. So therefore, it's very similar. Because what it was that Yoyada was doing exactly this, taking care of the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, Kol Kesev HaKodashim HaMuval Beit Hashem. That's referring to the Machzis HaShekel to bring the Korbanos from. So fine, still makes sense. So therefore, it is Dami, as Reb Tavi pointed out. Meisvei, another problem for Rav. Chal Liyot B'Parshas Muchala, Bein Milafaneh, Bein Milachareh, Korinota V'Koflinota. So suppose Parsha Shkolim falls out on the Shabbos, where you would be laning anyway next to Parsha Shkolim. So in other words, let's say if you're going to be learning Tetzaveh, then at the end of Tetzaveh, you're going to be going directly into Kitisa, right? So then what do? We read Kitisa in Parshat Tetzaveh, and then the next week we read it again. And if we read Kitisas, and the next week is Parshat Shkalim and Vayakel, so we read twice from the same thing. Yes, we do. Korinota v'Goflinota. You repeat the same Parshat 2 weeks in a row. Now, for heaven's sakes, if you're going to tell me that the Parshat Shkalim is Kitisa, then this can happen. But if you're going to tell me Parshat Shkalim is Pinchas, how in the world would you ever have the Parshat Shkalim next to the time that you're reading Tetzaveh? What does that have to do with it? I don't understand. So if you go according to Mandi Omer Shmuel, it says Kitisa, that would explain either the Misrami Bozim that comes out that time of the year. But according to Mandi Omer, it says Tzavet Korbani Lachmi, it doesn't come out at that time of the year. So the whole discussion is moot. That makes no sense. Does it come out? No, of course it does. You're so caught up in your own minhagim. In Eretz Yisrael, remember, the minhag always was that they finished the Torah every 3 years. They didn't finish the Torah every year with the Parashat HaShavua that we have. They read one Sidra. And therefore, and those times, it could happen that in one of those 3 years, it comes out at the same time as Parshat Shkalim, no? So therefore, you could have Parshat Shkalim next to Parshat Shkalim at the time of Pinchas. Tanika Vasid Shmuel, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Shechaliot B'Shabbat, Korim Kitisa, Umaftirim B'Yoyada HaKohen. By the way, you should just know that Bizman HaZeh, with the Seder that we have, it cannot happen for us either. You'd never have the Tetzaveh and the Kitisa that comes out as the Parsha Shekolim. So you don't have the Kofli Mota. So even though the Rambam brings this Lalocha, maybe they had a different Seder of how they would lean. And therefore, it says Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, if Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, you take out 3 Sifrei Torah. One of them is the Parsha HaShavua, one of them is the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, and one of them is the Maftir, which is Kitisa, which is Parshat Shekalim. And the same thing happens, says Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, on Hanukkah. If, fascinating, no? If Rosh Chodesh Tevet falls out on a Shabbos, you also need 3 Sifrei Torah. One of them is the Parsha Shavua, one of them is Rosh Chodesh, and there always is a Rosh Chodesh in Hanukkah, and then the third Sefer is B'Chanukkah. Okay, we'll go over these last points. I also wanted to discuss with you tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, some of the actual halacha l'maisa in the questions about the Beit HaKnesset. Like, you know, suppose we said yesterday you go in and you sit down and you say a pasuk, then you're allowed to call someone out of the Beit HaKnesset. Would you be allowed to do that if you're coming in from the rain? Let's say like the story yesterday. Would you be allowed to do that if you want to do a kapandria? So, like, if you want to cut through the Beit HaKnesset, can you, like, sit down and say a pasuk and then go out the other door? So those are things we will discuss, Bezrat Hashem, as we also complete the inyanim of the Svarim, how many Svarim you take out for Parshat Shkalim, and so on. Tomorrow, we'll see you, Bezrat Hashem. Lada Siyata Deshmaya, to be Zorcha to see you again tomorrow, which will be wonderful, and look forward very much.